This is a CBC podcast.
The provincial budget is out next week, and the opposition is asking how the government will help people who are struggling with rising costs. Vicky Mowat is the NDP's deputy leader.
Mr. Speaker, they are not listening to Saskatchewan people. Cost of living is the number one issue for people in this province, but the SAS party is doing nothing to help them. It's time to give people a break at the pumps. Why won't the Premier scrap the fuel tax for 6 months to give Saskatchewan families a break?
Recognize the Minister of Crown Investments Corporation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we are providing relief for people in this province by removing the carbon tax from home heating bills, not only to save the average household about $400 a year, Mr. Speaker, but more importantly, to provide fairness to Saskatchewan residents that have not been afforded to them by the Prime Minister of this country, propped up by the NDP in Ottawa, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, so that is one of the measures that we are doing. Mr. Speaker, what I can say is that in terms of reducing the fuel tax, Mr. Speaker, what the public knows is every single dollar under this government, unlike under the NDP, when it took more in fuel tax than we spent on highways, every single dollar is spent on the highways budget, Mr. Speaker. We don't want to see an NDP do what they did in the past, to axe the budget when it came to highways, Mr. Speaker. Too many people in this province remember that the NDP stands for no darn pavement.
That is the minister responsible for Saskatchewan's Crown Corporations, Dustin Duncan. For more on the budget and the rest of this week's political news, we've reached our panel. Adam Hunter covers politics for CBC Saskatchewan. Murray Mandrick writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post and the Saskatoon Star Phoenix, and they join us weekly at this time. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Darn pavement, huh?
He had that one saved up.
That bullet in his chamber.
Adam, we do know some of the details of next week's budget already. What's the latest?
Yeah, the latest is what came up at SARM yesterday, and the Premier always likes to drop hints, as you know, at SARM of what is to come in the budget. Some of it is stuff we already knew, like the funding school agreement with the SSBA, which we've talked about, money for breast care assessment center, which you talked about. There's other little bits and pieces. Yesterday, the big ticket item would be the irrigation project at Lake Diefenbaker that the government announced a few years ago. This was one of the hobby horses of Ralph Goodale, the former MP, as well.
Yeah, I remember that.
But the Premier most said yesterday, you know, fairly pointedly, as he's known to do, that we're not waiting for the federal government to sign on to pay for this. It's a multi-billion dollar project, if people remember, and it's going to take a few years to complete. So that was one of the big things. There are other irrigation projects that they announced at SARM in the last couple of days, but that was kind of the big ticket item. But his focus, he said, for the budget, and this is a preview, is on care, communities, and classrooms. Focusing on, you know, healthcare, on policing, and on schools, and I think a lot of infrastructure projects as well, with schools, building new schools, fixing schools, as we've heard in many budgets in past years. So those are some of the highlights I think we can expect. The government's actually put a lot out ahead of the budget, and so there are a lot of things we do know, even though we don't know the dollar figures.
How unusual is it to know this much ahead of the budget?
I'm taking Wednesday off. Just putting my feet up, just putting on my open-toed shoes and just relaxing.
Please
with
no.
The finance minister. A ton. More than usual, yeah. It's one thing we should note is it's been getting increasingly so every year, because this is the game governments play. They leak a little bit out. All governments. It's not just this one. It's the whole issue of budget secrecy is getting to be a bit of a joke, because we sign all kinds of embargoes and they leak it anyway. That's my job. But it's there's more and more of it out now for political reasons, because they're spinning it. A lot of it's good. And to be quite frank, this is a prime time for voters right now, because they're hearing the goodies and the good news. The mammogram thing, signing contracts with doctors, hiring nurse practitioners, hiring more nurses and doctors, doing a lot of good things right now, particularly in the health front. So I think there's some wins here for government along that line. I think the problem is beyond the fact that they have nothing to say on budget day. So immediately the crowd in the rotunda starts, well, okay, we heard this, but that's kind of old news by now. What else do you have for us? Because we have all these problems in education. You're not fulfilling the teachers' issues, problems, contract, because we're not addressing classroom size and complexity in any direct way. You seem to be throwing money at the problem, but you're really not sort of explaining how, or more specifically committing in the way the teachers want to that money. I think that is the next level of problems for the government looking ahead to whatever is left for Don Harper to say on Wednesday, because after that, we have to sort of start thinking, okay, well, how is it going to play out, and how is it going to play out for the coming months with an election scheduled for October 28th?
Adam, there is still no deal with teachers. You mentioned there is more money going to school divisions, and there's some talk about how school divisions were maybe given a bit of a take it or leave it short deadline there. What can you tell us?
Yeah,
about what happened?
There's a bit of a back and forth on whether, you know, that some trustees have come out and said, you know, we weren't given a lot of time. This was kind of like a 24-hour take it or leave it. The education minister's come back and said, you know, we've had discussions on and off again with the SSBA leadership. We don't know who's in those rooms. Of course, there's hundreds of trustees across the province with 27 different school divisions. So or dozens, I should say, maybe there. But that I think is, you know, maybe to believe that the education minister says we can't tell everyone everything all the time. At the same time, the deal that was on the table was taken, and that's rankled the STF. They're saying, you know, we're kind of being given the end around here. We wanted to have a sit down and talk about this. The latest is this issue with binding arbitration. Now, the NDP came out with this the other day and said, why don't agree to this? They dismissed that in the House. And then yesterday we had Samantha Beacott at the legislature saying, you know, we're willing to sit down with the government if they're going to agree to binding arbitration on class size and complexity. We can deal with all the other issues at the table, salary, other things, benefits. Let's talk about this. Let's get this out of the way. If you have a strong case, then let's leave it up to the arbitrator. If they decide against us, that maybe so be it. And Jeremy Cockerell and the Premier both dismissed that and said no. And yesterday at SARM, Premier Mo saying, you know, we're not giving this money to the teachers. The SDF has said, we're not asking for this money. We're asking for guarantees on these two issues. And so we're kind of at a stalemate. And the latest is Samantha Beacott saying, you know, things like Hoopla, the provincial basketball championships, school trips will be in danger of being canceled. And that will be on the education minister and the Premier if it comes to that.
What do you make of the latest here?
Well, dealing with the last point is going to be on STF if events start getting canceled like Hoopla. And I guess it's first to the button in terms of who makes that point as to who's inconvenienced by the strike. It's obviously in the teacher's interest to blame the government, but it is their decision. To their point, though, and to what Adam said, there is no good argument coming from the government right now as to why they can't take this to binding arbitration if there's no other means. The circular argument that we're hearing from Education Minister Jeremy Cockerell is, well, there's only been a half hour to an hour of negotiations when the government won't change its position, won't change its bargaining position, and at times won't show up at the table itself, as was sort of the case when they tried the last round of negotiations. There'll be a lot of people who see and continue to see that. And there is a huge believability crisis with Jeremy Cockerell as education minister. He says something and you can actually, within a few moments, find it to be not so. And that happens in scrums, that happens in the House, and that happens in terms of his relation negotiation with the teacher. It's a big problem overall for the government right now, by the way, because they're losing people whether you agreed with them or not. You probably believe what Donna Harpower said or what Don Morgan said or what Gord Wyan said or what Dustin Duncan said. All of them are leaving right now, and you're left with ministers that have a bit of a believability problem. Jeremy Cockerell would probably be one, and certainly be one in relation to this negotiations. That gets into the trust factor. That gets into a whole series of problems that extend to the government's election agenda and what it may or may not be able to accomplish this fall. They have to deal with that issue. They have to get this issue settled in a way They can't keep pandering to people who want to put the boots to the teachers, because I don't think that's the majority of Saskatchewan. And it just kind of just makes them look a little bit more bad and right wing anyway. And they're going to lose support on the left flank. And I think that's a serious consideration for them while they're really worried about the rural right vote and securing their own rural base. You know, they may or may not do that and accomplish that anyway without doing anything. But what they really have to worry about right now is all the support they're losing by the tactics that they're taking right now in things like the teacher strike.
Thanks, you guys.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.